in addition to using Google, which David amply demonstrated, and I certainly use Google a lot, people look for resources, and a lot of people may not think about using Bookshare, for example, to look for books on, you know, on Windows 8 or on a variety of subjects. For those who don't know, Bookshare is, it was started, I guess, 10 or 12 years ago now, and it was a project originally where people would scan books, send them into a repository, and then those books would be made available to people with verified print disabilities and made available in BRF, which is a Braille formatted file, or DAISY files. And now they've begun working with a lot of publishers to get electronic copies of the books so that scanning isn't necessary, although they do still do a lot of scanning. Bookshare, initially, I think the sign-up is $75. It's $50 a year thereafter. You can, if you're willing to scan books or check books for errors and stuff, you can defray some of those costs. But I think it's a really worthwhile service. One good resource is the Bookshare site. I'm going to actually sign in.
Email edit. Ever. Email edit. A-R-L. Password. Password edit. Remember me. Login up. My account link. Search title. Author. First. Search list of link. Advanced search.
I'm going to go into advanced search just for fun.
Virtual PC. Virtual PC. Search title. Author. Search button. List of two items. Edit. Search title. Author.
So I'm going to do Windows 8, just for
virtual
fun.
Virtual key search button. Search results. What download format should I choose? Modify your results. Heading level 3. Windows register data sign out. Heading level 2 link.
Okay, so now I'm at, and this is the first book, is Windows Inside Out. And
Windows register date, plain and simple. Heading level 2. Training guide. Configuring Windows register date. Heading level 2 link. Exam Rep 70687. Configuring Windows register date. Heading level 2 link. Windows register date step-by-step heading level 2.
So that's just to give you an example. I mean, I haven't even begun to look at how many there are, but there are just tons of books available from Bookshare on Windows and on anything you can think of.
How do you read those books?
You can put them, if you have a dedicated player like a Victor Reader Stream or a BookSense or whatever, you can read them on that. You can read them on a Braille note taker. You can read them on your iPhone with the Read to Go app or with VoiceStream.
And you can read them in your browser if you have IE9
or
Firefox.
Or Firefox, yeah. So you can read them on the computer if you like.
If you have M Sharp, you can also read them on a Windows computer because it can open BRF on.
And membership is free if you're a student anywhere, including the School for the Blind.
Yeah.
I recently looked up, for example, a book on C programming, and it looked like a real good book, except for one thing. All of the code samples apparently were scanned. They were completely inaccessible.
If you let them know that that's a problem, they say they will go in and fix it.
Also, some of the computer books I've noticed is they sometimes have the screenshots of the, so where the book author put the screenshots as part of the book. And then that gets scanned. It completely produces garbage.
It's not perfect by any means, particularly with technical books and computer, but you can still get a lot of information.
The good thing is sometimes you can find for look for commands or shortcut keys or something, you can just list an appendix or something to it.
Exactly. And once you pay for your subscription, you can download as many books as you want. It's not, you know what I mean, it's not like 5 books a month. Or they give you, I think it's like 100. I think it's 100 books or something, but you can get them to lift the limit. But it's just a good website, I think, and a good resource for a lot of things. And they have books on every imaginable topic. So it's not just technical. I just used Windows as an example. The whole goal of this was to add availability for books that we wouldn't necessarily have. So a lot of times you find things that you're not going to find on the Bard site because they're more obscure. They're not necessarily interesting to the collection of readers that NLS has identified. So, for example, you get, there's a lot of skew in the NLS. I'm not criticizing it, but there's a lot of skew in the NLS selection. So there's a lot more variety in Bookshare because, as I say, originally it was people literally buying and scanning books that they couldn't get elsewhere and sending those in.
Bookshare has agreements with some publishers, so they don't have to have stuff scanned.
No, that's what I said. They don't do so many scan submissions anymore, and they're getting more and more electronic agreements.
Bookshare.
how do we keep up with what's happening in assistive technology? And I think probably one of the best resources I found is the Top Tech Tidbits newsletter from Flying Blind. It comes out weekly. You can subscribe to it on an RSS feed on your computer or your iDevice. You can get it emailed to you every week. You can read it on the web. And I want to just open the latest one just to give you a sense of the kinds of stuff that's in it.
Ever. Flying Blind, LLC, Top Tech Tidbits Newsletter Archive Index.
And you can sign up right on this page if you want to. I have this as a favorite. All of these sites I put in as my favorites. So that...
Top Tech Tidbits 2013 Newsletter Archive. Enter 2013 Heading Level 3. Top Tech, the week's news and adaptive technology. Blank, a Flying Blind, LLC publication. Graphic photo of it. This is currently looking for a home for one Juliet Pro Embosser.
Okay, they do a little advertising at the beginning. They're selling a Juliet Embosser.
And the stuff is, I have to say, it's pretty cheap.
It is pretty cheap. And so now I'm just going to let it read down a bit so you can hear what kinds of things are on here.
One needless to say, reactions and tutorials on the new iOS Kindle app are plentiful. The reactions are not all in agreement. Here's the NFB assessment. Link https://nfb.org/blog/grading/kindle/accessibility/eels. Here's another review from Justin Romack. Link http://www.fedorahillier.com. Grading Amazon's Kindle for eels updated with accessibility and one more from Shelley Brisbane. Link http://www.stablytimes.com. News Kindle eels app accessibility update for the blind. So what 6553. Here's a David Woodbridge podcast. Link http://davidwood.podbean.com. 2013-0507. Extensive run through of the now accessible eels Kindle app with voiceover. And for those enjoying their newfound access to Kindle books, here's a post on 25 places to get free Kindle books. Link http://freebies.com/onlinebooks/free/kindle/books. HTM2 Jonathan Mosen is now an independent consultant, so I expect we'll be seeing plenty of material from this site. Link http://mosen.org. Here he has written a thoughtful article on Android accessibility, and the article has stimulated lots of discussion. Link http://mosen.org/index/php why I want Android accessibility to succeed. Link http://mosen.org/index/php why I want Android accessibility to succeed. 3. Jonathan also tells us about the improved iOS version of a program called Viber.
That's just the first three, and this goes on, and it tells you all the new podcasts that have come on that week that are accessibility related. It tells you about, you know, new programs, new things. I mean, there's just tons of stuff. I get a lot of my ideas, frankly, about not only to try to keep up to what's happening, but about even topics for what we do here from that newsletter.
What's the URL?
Don't worry about taking down the URLs. I'm going to make sure that all of these are posted on the ViBug website. Now, if you are looking for information about JAWS, or, for example, information about JAWS and iTunes, as an example, Freedom Scientific has something called an FSCast. In addition to their voluminous manuals and tutorials, some of which I sometimes find overwhelming, they have something called FSCast, which is a podcast. You can listen to it on the web. You can subscribe to it. If you use a podcatcher like Downcast, you can get it that way on your iPhone. They do a variety of things. They did a preview on Windows 8 with Eric Damery and Jonathan Mosen. They've done a variety of things. That's a resource. They did a two-part thing on iTunes with JAWS when that changed. And it's a good way to kind of keep up on Freedom Scientific stuff.
Who's going to produce it now that Jonathan is left?
I don't know. That's going to be the buzz, I guess, until they...
I read something that he was going to continue to do it on an interim basis for a while.
What I read about that was that they thought that he might have recorded some things prior to leaving, and so we might hear it. Jonathan Mosen, for those of you who may not know, is somebody who became quite well known in the blindness community initially because he was the original
director
of ACB Radio. And he
And he also worked for Human, was like the spokesperson for Human.
Then he went to HumanWare. Then he went to Freedom Scientific. He's from New Zealand, and he has a blog, and he's quite vocal. He had a number of email lists that he's involved with. And by the way, speaking of email lists are sort of the gold and the bane of my existence. In that email lists, and it used to be before Twitter, which I think has taken over, almost everything that you will want to know about, any store that you go to, any organization to which you might want to connect, has a Twitter hashtag. So if you are on Twitter, That's a very good way, in a way that a lot of people disseminate news and information. And it's kind of not quite replaced email lists, but I think a lot of people now are more likely to post on Twitter or to post on Twitter and then additionally to post to an email list. But there are a variety of email lists on a number of platforms. For example, on our Vibug page, we have links to about 5 or 6 different email lists just for the iPhone. And they vary. You can find out what email lists are available if you don't know. You might be able to try it with Google and put in email lists blind, but I don't know how well Google would do with that. If you know what the host is, for example, you can search on Google Groups, you can search on Yahoo, you can search Mailman is another one. Freelist, thank you. That was what I was trying to think of. Freelist. And if you put in, some keywords like blind technology, what you're going to find email lists to which you can subscribe. And if you know how to configure your email client so that you can set up filters, it's really a great way to kind of keep up to date. One of the things that I do on a regular basis, I'll go in, for example, I have a set of email lists that are just devoted to the iPhone. I don't keep them in my general inbox. I would be overrun. So I've created a filter and I put them in their own iPhone email box. So when I have time, when I'm not, in such a hurry, I can then go through and then look at them. There is a general technology list called Blind Tech. It can be somewhat high traffic, but it's good for answering sort of general technical questions. There are lists, email lists, as you probably know, for every device, screen reader, whatever it is that you own. And there are times when those can be really good resources as long as you know how to deal with the email management issue. When I first came to this group, in addition to having a big mouth and being fairly organized, one of the reasons I became a leader kind of in this group was because most of the people who were here, many of whom have far more computer expertise than I do now even, they were in DOS. And I wanted to learn Windows. And a lot of the people that I learned Windows tips from as a new screen reader user were on the email list. And that's how I taught myself a lot of what I know about Windows. And they can be helpful. There are lots of, if you're looking for training, there are lots of training places. Access Technology Institute is one that is run by Kathy and Murtha. They have a certification program if you want to learn to be a trainer. They have training courses and textbooks. Some of them cost money. They do have some free training webinars that sometimes occur. That can be a good resource. If you happen to be a trainer, if you are a blind trainer, you can sign up for the blind training list. And there we answer questions of one another about tech training. Another place to keep up with is Access World. Do you guys know about that? Access World is, there is an Access World app for the iPhone that is free. You can also get Access World. You can get notifications that Access World is available via email. You can go to the AFB website and read it there. They do both product reviews. They have an editor's page, what's new, what's coming up. They do comparisons. Their reviews are supposed to be pretty unbiased, and I found most of them to be pretty good. Sometimes I get frustrated with Access World in that the articles are pretty short and it may not be as in-depth as I'd like, but it's a good way to keep your finger kind of on the pulse of things. I want to go to Apple, since there's so many people with iPhones in the room, iDevices. AppleVis is the website, particularly for people who don't want to deal with the email list. It's a really wonderful resource for information about iPad, iPhone, Mac, apps, podcasts. For example, if I go on a
search this site, edit.
Let's say I want to search for Amazon Kindle. So I'm going to write in the word Kindle.
L-E.
And I can search the entire site.
Accessory reviews. App deals. AppleVis blog. AppleVis forum. AppleVis podcast.
Okay. And there's a number. There's
guides, tutorials, and tips. Mac app directory. iOS app directory.
Okay, so those are all
AppleVis podcast. AppleVis podcast.
I'm going to go to the podcast.
Add search button. Enter.
And go to search.
Search AppleVis. Search. Page has 10 landmarks, 4 headings, and 28 links. Search results heading level 2. Visited heading level 3 link Kindle for iOS. Read Kindle titles on your iOS device.
Okay, now this just came out last week.
Land.
And they...
Amazon's Kindle app for iOS devices. After much lobbying, Amazon has finally made this app fully accessible with VoiceOver, which means blind and low vision. Users can now read Kindle titles on their iDevices. Click Land. Apple this podcast, so, Apple this 7 May 2013, 529, 0 comments, 0 attachments.
So, and you can go now and download, you can download the podcasts right there. And they have podcasts. I think they have over 200 now, different podcasts. They also have reviews of apps. You want to know if an app is accessible. It's important to look at the date that the review was created because sometimes they're out of date. And so if you have a newer version of the app, it may not be as, or it may be more accessible or less accessible. But they have reviews of apps. They have, and on every topic, I mean, I could have put in Braille and it would have done all of the apps and podcasts and blogs that have anything to do with, you know, Braille, for example. It's a very extensive site. I've been impressed with their interface in that you really can restrict your searches, and it's just a simple edit field and combo box. Viz, V-I-S, V-I-S. Apple, APPLEVIS.com. Another good source, I think, of information is accessibleworld.org. They have a variety of different kinds of things. You know, they have cooking and sports and whatever. They use actually this same chat client that I complain about all the time. And I've tried to present to them and had difficulty with a huge broadband stream. But they do have archives. They have Tech Talk every week, and they have a different topic and presenter every week. Kind of like what our presentations are here to some extent, although, you know, ours are a lot more interactive. You know, we answer a lot more, sometimes answer a lot more questions. But they have a presenter come and present a particular topic, and their topics really range. But it's like all the new products that come out. I'm sure they'll have one on the Kindle. And they archive all of these things. You can download it to your device. I download them and speed them up. It's another tech, kind of tech resource. Just as an aside, I think one of the reasons why there aren't very many groups like Vibug anymore is because there are so many. We never had all this years ago, all these podcasts, and everybody now wants to become a broadcaster. So, you know, all these podcasts and resources didn't exist at the time. And I think a lot of people have come to rely on these kinds of podcasts exclusively. If you go to www.serotalk, S-E-R-O-T-A-L-K, they have a set of podcasts that they do. And they do one called High Contrast, which may be interesting to those people who have usable low vision. They do one called Triple Click Home, which is exclusively about Apple products. Those don't come out weekly. Those are periodic, like about once a month. They do another one called Serospectives, which is once a month. And that one will focus on kind of issues of the day or particular topics. And they'll have guests who come in, you know, a number of people in like a panel format that will talk. They also have a weekly, the Serotalk podcast, and that's a weekly podcast where they do everything from tech news to mainstream news. There, I have this downloaded on my iPhone in Downcast, and I often listen to it that way because I like to be mobile and portable. But one of the things that's nice is sometimes, you know, they will allude to articles that they are referring to and things that they're talking about, but they also have the show notes so that if you go to the show notes either, you know, in Safari or if you go on your go back, I sometimes will just go to my computer later if there's something in particular that interests me. They have all the show notes from the article, so you actually can read the articles that they're talking about. I find them to be fair. I mean, I think they at least try to be fairly unbiased in terms of their reviews and stuff. They will, for example, they thought that the NFB blog, that's another resource, NFB and ACB have blogs on their websites, and the NFB blog was pretty critical of the Kindle app that came out, not so much, I think, because of the features of the app, but because it's limited to iOS devices. They had their opinions about that, the people who host the show. The other thing is, a lot of these podcasts, the people that are creating them, some of them, you know, they're very involved. So if you follow them on Twitter, you also get a lot of good information because they're tweeting back and forth and they have their finger sort of on the pulse of what's going on. If you're interested in Android as well, Serotalk Network has a podcast called That Android Show. And that's all things Android. They do the same kind of review that they do on the Triple Click Home for Apple is done for Android, but from an accessibility standpoint. Yeah, iBlink Radio is an iPhone app, and I think an Android app. And they, yeah, you can listen to all the podcasts on there as well. And they actually have a lot of links to other podcasts.
The iBlink app, isn't, aren't they the ones who created it?
Yes. They are.
Is that a paid?
No, it's free. The only disadvantage to that for me is that you can't speed it up. And I like the ability to speed things up. And
They're very chatty and there's a lot of crap.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's why I like the Downcast app, because I can... Their navigation, incremental navigation for the... playing files, I don't find as slick as Downcast.
The nice thing with the iBlink app, though, is sometimes if there's a live event like that night, it'll send you a push notification.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I subscribe to those push notifications as well, and usually I can't listen at the time that they're going to be doing them, but it kind of triggers me. That's a good reason to have a connection through Twitter or through an email reminder, because what I find is a lot of people, and I sometimes won't remember to go to somebody's website for a while and look at what's happened. And if I get a push notification or I get an email reminder or a Twitter reminder, I'm much more likely to do that. Another resource for lots of information, both courses and podcasts and so forth, is obviously the Hadley School, hadleyschool.org, which, for anybody who doesn't know, is specifically for blind people, and they have a lot of courses. They started having some technology courses. They have something called Seminars at Hadley, which is a podcast, and they do presentations of various topics there as well. One of the other things you can do, and David briefly talked last time about Feedler Pro, which is one of several different RSS readers. And you can also get a lot of news and information from your RSS reader as well. So if you just put in some keywords, access technology, blind, or something, you will get. I, for example, now have the Flying Blind, the Top Tech Tidbits. I have that on my RSS reader, and that automatically updates. So that I can go into that app and get the RSS reader. That's a convenient way without having to make a lot of effort. It's just automatically there. And depending upon how you have your settings configured. Another source of information that's relatively new, which will kind of serve double duty right now, it is a new iPhone app. It's a little different in that it has a different kind of interface. It provides you with an opportunity to get some content you might or might not be able to get elsewhere. So I'm going to demonstrate briefly, just a bit, something called EARL, E-A-R-L. The reason why this is interesting, it might not be for some of us who are pretty comfortable and facile with the iPhone, but particularly for people who may not be in that category, or if you're just feeling kind of lazy and don't want to have to flick and, you know, this and that, EARL can be an interesting option. It is not free. You can try it for free, but you can only read 3 articles a day, and then you don't get to read anymore unless you subscribe.
EARL. Welcome to EARL.
Okay.
Source. Articles. 1. Leopard breaks Chelsea scoring record in Berlin. 2. Joel.
So I was
4,
reading sports.
For the season.
So the way EARL works, and it does give you a tutorial. Newspapers.
Newspapers. 1. Chicago Tribune. 2. Los Angeles Times. 3. The Boston Globe. 4. USA Today.
All right,
to make a selection, double tap the screen and wait for the tone. Then speak. To hear the list of newspapers again, say read again. To add or remove newspapers from a list of favorites, say favorites. To change the voice or speed settings, say settings. To subscribe, say subscribe. To get help, say help.
So let me explain how this works. This is different from NFB Newsline in a couple of ways. One is that the content is slightly different. If you want a newspaper added, they say, and in the interview that I listened to, that they will try to add it, you know, within a few hours. And as long as there isn't a payment issue, you know, they should be able to add it. The way this works is, as you heard, there were several options. And all you do to activate an option is to double tap with one finger and then listen for the tone and say what you want. So if I double tap, now I found this out. I think this is version 1, so they need to make a few changes. I'm at newspapers right now. So I can say Boston Globe or I can say 3. I'm going to double tap Boston Globe.
The Boston Globe. Sections. 1. Breaking news. 2. Top stories. 3. Local news. 4. State and regional. 5. National news. 6. World news. 7. Business.
6.
World News. Articles. 1. Central African Republic rebels demand payment. 2. Egypt Christian teachers detention extended. 3. G7 says Japan playing by currency rules. 4. Tanzanian troops arrive in Eastern Congo. 5.
4.
Tanzanian troops arrived in eastern Congo, Goma, Congo. AP, a contingent of about 100 Tanzanian troops arrived in eastern Congo Saturday, a first step in assembling the United Nations Intervention Brigade, said a UN spokesman. The Tanzanian troops...
Favorites.
Favorites. 1. Add. 2. Remove. 3. Reset. 4. Exit. To make a selection, double tap the screen and wait for the tone, then speak. To add a newspaper to the list of favorites, say add. To remove a newspaper from the list of favorites, say remove. To reset the favorites, say reset. To exit favorites and return to the current location, say exit. To get help, say help.
Now, one of the things I think they should change in this is that you should be able to go to newspapers and see all the list of newspapers, but you can't. So what you have to, I found this out by playing with it, what you found is you have to go to add favorites, then you can see the list. So I'll do that now. Add.
Add favorites. Select the country. 1. United States. 2. Australia.
United States? They have New Zealand, Australia. It's all English.
United States. Select the newspaper type. 1. Local. 2. National. To make a selection, double tap the screen and wait for...
2. I'm going to national for a reason.
United States national newspapers. 1. LBC. 2. ABC News. 3. All Things Digital. 4. Ars Technica. 5. Associated Press. 6. Bleacher Report. 7. Bloomberg's Business Week. 8. Booing Booing. 9. Business Insider. 10. BuzzFeed. 11. CNET. 12. Cable News Network. 13. Capital. 14. Daily Dot. 15. Dangerous Magazine. 16. Herald Law. 17.
CNET.
Sorry, I don't understand. Please try again to get help.
Sometimes that will happen. Anyway, that you get the idea. They have some magazines that other places don't have.
How much is the subscription?
I think it may be $10 a month or something.
But the voice you had was not the...
No, the voice is not VoiceOver. And I don't think you can actually subscribe from here. I think it will open Safari. But let me just see.
Welcome to Earl. United States National Newspapers. 1. LVC.
Subscribe.
Subscription confirmation. If you are unable to see the screen, you may need to use VoiceOver or get sighted assistance to continue. Do you want to proceed? 1. Yes. 2. No. To make a selection, double tap the screen and wait.
Yes.
1 month subscription for $9.99. Button.
Yeah, 1 month.
1 year subscription for $99.99.
Okay, so it's basically $100 a year or $10 a month. It does have some content that NFB Newsline does not have, and that's one reason I'm showing it to you. The other reason I'm showing it to you is because, you know, it's really, as you can see, it's really easy to use.
Right.
Particularly, I'm thinking about this, like, for example, if I'm walking somewhere and I don't want to have to flick between, you know, it's something I could do with one finger very easily. It's good for people. I want to show this to Bill Rader, people like that, who have minimal dexterity.
Can you just interact with it that way, like you were doing it? You also kind of click on different things?
No, because it actually covers the whole... That there's nothing on the screen, so there's no text on the screen. This is totally a voice... or one-finger double-tap application. As a matter of fact, one of the things that they have to say at the very beginning, this was not developed only for the blind market. It was developed in part because they're thinking that sighted people who are in their cars, as an example, who aren't going to want to interact with their screens while they're driving, may be better able to use this as a way of reading newspapers, getting their content while they're driving. I had disabled the welcome tutorial that they give you at the beginning. He actually said that the first thing they say is you do need to listen because you are not supposed, there's nothing on your screen. And then he said they actually put in a couple of extra sentences in there just so that people were actually listening, because otherwise they weren't going to know what to do.
How do you speed up, slow down the voice?
There is a settings menu, and in that settings menu you can pick the voice and you can also pick the speed. It's kind of rudimentary. It's like slower, faster, and that's pretty much it. But that's how you speed it up. I mean, this is version 1. I think they'll probably do more with it, but it's kind of an interesting concept. I'm using this on the iPhone. This is strictly an iPhone app.
Do you happen to know if Newsline is eventually going to get those missing items or if there's some contractual barrier to them doing that?
There are, I mean, thousands of papers in the universe, you know, and so Newsline has some. You can also request of Newsline that they add a paper. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't.
Like, they don't have Business Week, or they don't have Fortune, they don't have Forbes, they don't have News Week. I mean, many of the popular ones, they don't have it, actually.
Yeah, they don't. That's right. And a lot of that is because I think they've lost money. Also, I've had it reported that... You can get Mac World, or PC World or whatever. Sometimes the content's not the same on Newsline as it is on this URL service. I want to ask about that because I don't know whether Newsline gets only certain content that it can get from the web or how it works. I don't know what the reason for the differences are, but I've heard that there can be some differences in magazines in particular as to what you get.
Amy, is the app just called
URL? ERL.
Amy, you were given a voice command. What button were you pressing to do that?
It's a one-finger double tap anywhere on the screen. That's the joy for, like, as I say, for people who are not accustomed to computing and so forth, that or who have minimal dexterity. No, $9.99 a month, $100 a year. Once you subscribe, you're subscribed. Then you have access to everything.
There's like a free light version and then a...
The light version is exactly what I just showed you, which is that you could read three articles a day.
Is that true indefinitely?
The only thing I know is what I'm telling you. I mean, they haven't said, after 5 days, those things shuts off and, spits at you until you do something. As far as I know, if you wanted just to read three articles a day... You could have it for nothing. It doesn't even turn VoiceOver off. VoiceOver just doesn't work while you're at it, while you're in URL, because it's a blank screen.
Would you be able to utilize the headsets when you just press the button? You know how when you skip a song or whatever, is it the same thing?
Haven't tried it.
This is the first version. I'm sure the later versions will
be. Yeah, and they've actually been pretty responsive from what I understand, is they're already taking a lot of content. You can actually support, if you say support into that, you can call them or you can email them, and that will bring up your email client and allow you to email them.
Because we used to have, I forget the podcast that everyone used to use on their PCs, but...
You mean Juice?
Juice. A new one that's out, which is actually quite nice, and you can get a demo of it, is that QCast. And the thing that's nice about it is that has a feature where you can speed things up as well while you're listening to them on your computer.
Yeah.
So it's very nice.
That is good.
Is that blind specific?
Yes.
Yes. Another source that I use, and again, I tend to use Downcast for this, but you can use other things, is, for example, you can put in like 60 minutes or... NBC Nightly News or, any of those political shows, for example, or NPR, or pick the thing you want to listen to. I have all those, if I want to keep up on certain things, I have Kim Komando, for example, and I pay for that. That's $50 a year. But I put those all in Downcast, and then when I want to go in and refresh my podcast, and I can set up how many I want to keep, whether I want to download them, or whether I want to stream them at my time of my choosing. It's a great way to keep up. There was a 60 Minutes episode, for example, that I didn't want to miss a couple of weeks ago, and I wasn't going to be home on a Sunday night. Well, I can't use a DVR. I still can't do that. So, but I was able to get the audio version of the podcast and keep up with it. The reason, there are lots of different podcatchers. There's one called iCatcher, there's one called Podcaster, and the one I use pretty much exclusively now is Downcast. And the reason I use that one in particular, it costs a couple of bucks, literally. But the reason I use that one in particular is because, A, every time that author updates it, he makes sure it's accessible. And he's very responsive. I sent him an email yesterday about something and got an email within 6 hours, and he's in a different time zone than I am. And he's just very responsive and always makes sure that it's VoiceOver accessible. So I use that for a lot of things. I also will try to keep up to date with general computing trends, and there are a lot of podcasts devoted to computing. There's one about gadgets. There's one called App Advice Daily. It's only a minute to listen to, and some of it's garbage because it's games I can't play or not interested in, but sometimes they have interesting apps that I have never heard of before. If you're looking specifically for Android or for iPhone stuff, they each have their respective app stores that you can go into, and you can do a search. And they also have apps that help you to find free apps or apps that are discounted for the day by category.
National Braille Press does books. What is their web address?
NBP.org
or Braille.com.
There's a site called blindcooltech.com that has tech.
That is being revived under a different website.
And there's a Blind Geek Zone. Okay, that's Rick Harmon. He has a bunch of books. I use Wikipedia all the time. It's not for how-to type tutorials, but like if you heard of a product or some kind of technology mentioned in the news and you want to know more about what this is, just try looking it up on Wikipedia. What's great is because it
it usually also has an external links section, which will take you to other great sources of information on that topic.
Another one's YouTube. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there. Like, for instance, like Freedom Scientific may have a YouTube channel, and sometimes you just type in search, site:youtube.com, and what you're looking for.
When the bombings occurred in Boston, I was working, but I wanted to know what's going on, and I went on YouTube and put in a search term, and within 5 seconds I had.
Well, I have to say about that on that Friday, we were able to put it, and Nora was tweeting faster and quicker and telling me more of what was going on than them saying on YouTube.
Twitter is a very powerful tool for getting news. I mean, I think that's the best function to it.
Also in Boston, there's a website called Bostino that I can send you the summary of it. They publish a lot of content about new technologies and services. And then every day I'll also read the 2hour, and 9to5mac.com that talk about different apps and Apple technologies.
Oh, and also the Carroll Center has some good free podcasts and tutorials. Like several lessons that Brian Charlson did on the iPhone, which I found helpful.
I mean, one thing I like about the Kim Komando podcast is that, you know, she does a lot of mainstream kind of stuff and keeps sort of her pulse, and she answers people's questions. There's other people, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. They're like all these people who do these podcasts on mainstream kind of technology. And I think it's good to read that and listen to that stuff too, because you get a sense of what's happening in the rest of the world and what's going on. And then you can kind of then filter it through your own concerns about accessibility. But just to know what kinds of things are coming out and what kinds of things are trending. You know, for example, I listened to an interesting interview about this, the whole idea of internet TV and what that's going to look like, and, you know, if that goes. And it just gives you a good way to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening, if only to anticipate, okay, this may be something I've got to deal with in the future if I'm buying a TV, because it's probably, you know, and maybe do I want to contact those people that are doing it to see whether they've even thought about accessibility.
And Amy, which RSS reader did you say that you use?
I use Feedler Pro, the one that David demonstrated. There's another. F-E-E-D-D-L-E-R Pro.
In Apple Viz, they actually made that other one, I don't know how you pronounce Lire or what, L-I-R-E.
Yep.
They made it their app of the month, so that's,
yep.
I don't know it, but they say that's very good.
They say it's good, yeah, L-I-R-E. The other thing that Apple Viz does that I should mention is they have like an advocacy thing every month where they are trying to get developers to do things or, you know, to pay attention to accessibility. You can go on their site and see what they're trying to advocate for and join in the process. And I think that's kind of cool.
I just wanted to add something about conventions. So iBlink Radio or TerraTech, they have something called convention coverage. I've never been to a convention, I probably won't ever. But this is a place where you can hear a lot of interviews about the newest products.
You're right, and not only that, but Blind Bargains also. Blind Bargains is a, and actually I should mention this too, there are a bunch of email lists, and there's a site called Blind Bargains that advertises used things, assistive technology kinds of things, and other things too that are of interest to blind people, but they will advertise those, and people buy, sell, and trade. I've sold a number of things on those sites with good success. BlindBargains.com is a site, and they not only have that as a service, you can advertise for $5. Or they will tell you what some specials that they find, you know, different kinds of things in mainstream stores. But the other thing they do is they have a huge repository. Every convention, they go around and do a lot of interviews as well. Saratech does it. And on iBlink Radio, and they also post the Blind Bargains audio files, and Blind Bargains does it on their own site as well.
There's a guy who, after the CSUN conference, for anybody who doesn't know, it's the biggest international technology and disability conference, and it occurs every February or March now in San Diego, and they just have all kinds of interesting presentations, and this guy collects links to whenever a speaker posted like their slides or made a recording available or anything to do with that. And you can go to this webpage and there's just tons of links to see some presentation material. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I could mention another resource, it's slightly tech related, but it's hands-on, that at the Easter Seals office on South Street. They have a loan program where they will loan you pieces of technology for like a month, and you can just play with them. And I had on my to-do list for a long time to borrow a Victor Stream, which I did a couple of weeks ago, and enjoying it. You can borrow pieces of technology and then decide later, of course, whether or not you want to go and buy them someplace.
Did they have the new one, or did they give you the old one?
The old one. I wanted the old one.
Oh, you did?
They only have the old one.
Okay. Oh, that's what
you want. They'll presumably have the new one. Yeah, I mean, it's not an exhaustive list of things, but you can go on their website.
And actually, we have a link, I believe, to their website on the Vibe page, because we had them come and talk about that at one point. Well, thank you very much.